On today's episode of the Bolts Broadcast, a blockbuster signing for the Bolts. Be tuned. Season 3, episode 80 of the Bolts Broadcast. Mike Mitchelson and Chase Crosshaw with you today. Chase, how you doing on this Tuesday afternoon as your phone is blowing up because you're such a popular guy?
I know. I always turn on vibrate before we record. Kind of forgot the sign. But, you know, I'm doing all right. Just kind of chilling, you know, looking forward to talking hockey. Been a little while since we're doing the once a weeks now. Looking forward to doing that. Looking forward to talking football later as well. Got a couple good recordings on the cusp here. So, yeah, I'm doing all right. How are you?
Good. And also, I don't know if the fans have noticed.
We figured it out.
Yeah, the mics are actually working this time. The soundboard's plugged into the computer, unlike last week, which was, like...
It was tough.
It would have been really bad if the soundboard just wasn't on completely, like, because it lights up and everything. But not plugging it into the computer in general, that's, like, second worst. Like, there's nothing worse except for the soundboard just being completely off, right?
Right. I have to agree.
Bit of a fumbled bag there, but we got it working this time, so very happy about that. On today's episode of the Bolts Broadcast, going to be talking about some signings for the organization, going to be looking at the Devy camp after the commercial break, talking news around the league, including head coaches, RFAs, and a statue being erected for a certain player. So all that and more. Going to be a good episode this time.
Hell yeah.
Let's start with Tampa's blockbuster signing, bringing in Trevor Carrick.
The biggest move that you're going to see this offseason, really. I mean, if you thought the Johnny Gaudreau signing was big, just you obviously were blindsided by the Trevor Carrick one.
Yep.
Trevor Carrick, you know, if you somehow don't know about him already, 28-year-old defenseman, you know, really grew up in the Sharks system the last few years, was a Carolina Hurricanes prospect prior as well, I guess that's the word I'm looking for, a forward draft pick by them. Spent last year, last 2 years, in San Diego, but he is, you know, a solid guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how to really explain it. He's certainly someone who is, worthy of a call-up during the season, someone that could play games, someone that's played NHL games in the past. I mean, he's got a total of 7 under his belt at the moment. So he's someone that, like, if you really need him to, he could play. But he's not someone that's going to be just, you know, right into the roster. Good, nice, older piece for Syracuse. Someone that can, you know, potentially be called up at some point during the season.
Yeah, and brother of Anaheim Ducks legend, Sam Carrick.
Hell yeah.
So elite hockey runs in this family's blood. And I think it's a nice step signing. I mean, injuries come up, you know. Trevor Carrick going to be one of those first couple of guys that is going to be on their way over to Tampa.
So. Oh, for sure. And he's the type of guy, like, he'll be the first black ace called up when the playoff comes. Like, that's the kind of, like, player that he is, where he can just, he's not going to bring you really any offense. He's not going to wow you and do anything, but he's not going to really do anything to cost you very often.
Right. Now let's talk about Syracuse and their acquirement of Jack LaFontaine.
Yeah, so Jack LaFontaine, he was a University of Minnesota goaltender, played at University of Michigan prior as well, has had a very strange development path, if anyone's been following along. So LaFontaine, he is a 98 born, so 24 years old. As I said, you know, he spent a couple years in college, played at U of M, then left his going into his junior year to play his final year of junior eligibility in the BCHL because things weren't really going well for him at Michigan. Played for Penticton, and then went to play 3 years at Minnesota. Became a captain as a goaltender his final year. What would have been his fourth season, so it would have been his junior year. The 2021 season was his best year of all. You know, 29 games, 179 goals against, 9.34 save. Then last year with Minnesota, you know, another fine season, 20 games, 269, 900 save. And he was looked at one time as a very legitimate NHL top-tier goaltender prospect coming out in the draft. You know, he was a third-round pick in 2016, was looking like just another one of those goalies that were playing in the NHL and were a little bit late in development and were just going to hit, kind of like what we saw with the Connor Hellebuck. Things did not really go on that way. Jack LaFontaine, you know, spent some time playing pro this year. He got in a total of 17 pro games, played two in the East Coast where he had a 9.22 save with a 3.49 goals against. So that's just a terrible team playing in front of him. When you got that save and that goals against, that means you were busting your ass. So good signs there. In the AHL, a bit opposite, a 2.89 goals against with an 8.85 save. Kind of shows that you weren't playing that great, but your team was doing well in front of you. I went 4-3-7, tells you everything you need to know, that how his AHL career stint went. And then he goes to the NHL, had to play a couple games. Carolina needed him, where he played two games, had a 7.2 goals against and a 7.80 save. So he's just all over the map. He was one time very highly touted, and I don't want to, you know, completely write him off yet, but he's really got to find some stability, and there's a chance he could find some stability in Syracuse. We've seen goalies, you know, like figure it out late in their career. Tim Thomas was a great goaltender in the NHL from like the age of 30 on. You know, it took him a while, and that we've seen it enough in the past with Jack LaFontaine where you can still have that optimism. So I think going to Syracuse, he'll probably play, you know, a backup-ish type role, maybe play a little more than your average backup, but it'll be a good place for him to develop. And who knows, maybe he ends up getting an NHL deal out of it with Tampa afterwards. It's a nice AHL sign to have for sure, because it's a guy that could really offer you a high risk with not really much reward.
Absolutely, and the signings continue from here as we sign this year's third-round pick.
Yeah, so Lucas Edmonds, the leading scorer in the OHL, the oldest player in the draft to be drafted. It, you know, as I talked about, a weird case. So normally North American, or players playing in North America, I should say, can't be drafted after their overage season in junior. But since he was technically on loan from Sweden, he had the European rights, so he had the one more year of draft eligibility, because Europeans, you know, they're often harder to find because they take some more time getting through the systems over there, so they get an extra year of eligibility in the draft. So he had those draft rights, so he was able to be drafted after a great season. Signs as ELC. I got to imagine he's playing in Syracuse full-time this year. I think it's a lock he's playing over North America. I can't really imagine him playing in the coast. I don't see why they would draft a 21-year-old to play him down in the third level of pro hockey here. Mm-hmm. So I would expect him to be a regular with Syracuse. Maybe, who knows, maybe he figures it out. He's got a really strong skill set. Maybe this last year was what he needed to really figure it out, get adjusted to the North American game. Maybe he takes that jump needed and becomes an NHL guy, you know, like as soon as a couple games this year. It's not impossible.
Yeah, and we talked about Lucas Edmonds in our draft review episode where, like Chase mentioned, older guy in the draft, this is maybe a draft where Tampa is more aiming towards keeping the longevity here with the current roster, bringing in guys that can fill in those depth roles within the first couple of years of their draft, you know, draft stock. So this could be a guy right here that we see coming up, which would be a lot of fun. If not, I'm sure Syracuse would love to have him as well.
Oh, absolutely. He should be a good piece for Syracuse. And, you know, piggybacking off of what you just said there, it really was a draft to try and, you know, get some guys that are maybe a little more developed, or letting, you know, or I should say getting a guy who just falls into your lap, like Isaac Howard, someone right. Who mm-hmm. probably should not have been available at that pick. You know, some people argue that, but at the end of the day, watch him play. It's all you need to know. He's going to be a damn good player in this league. So it was a nice value for Tampa. So I really could see these first two picks from this draft playing, you know, as soon as the next 2 years for Tampa, which is nice. It's a bit of a change of scenery for them.
And I love the swagger. Isaac Howard.
Oh, dude, it's great. The Iceman, baby.
Mm-hmm.
He's awesome. I can't wait to see him put on the Bolts sweater. It's going to be gone. It's just going to be great.
It is. All right, Chase, let's talk about the Bolts dev camp, as that recently happened.
Yeah, so really didn't get to watch much of this, unfortunately. You know, was reading more about it. What wasn't, you know, some huge dev camp is, you know, we haven't had a ton of draft picks in the last few years. So, you know, been some of our guys, some of our lower-end guys, you know, like Nick Perbix was someone who showed well, was looking at, you know, possibility of arguing, you know, maybe he's on the cusp of an NHL roster. Isaac Howard, Jack Finley, those guys are there looking solid too. But a name that I heard, you know, a few good things about is Grant Mismatch, you know, recent trade piece from that Ryan McDonough trade. Him and Philippe Myers came over. And Mismatch is kind of looked at as an afterthought type prospect, someone who was drafted, hasn't developed quite as hoped, wasn't a necessarily super high draft pick, but he was someone that had, you know, enough stock in him where it was thought that, you know, this guy could become an NHL player someday, and has been a bit slower developing, but looked good in dev camp, and that's a nice sign. He's going to start in Syracuse. It's pretty much a guarantee at this point. Where he's going to play in Syracuse, you know, who knows? He could be anywhere from the top line to the fourth line, but I got to imagine he's going to be a regular. Hopefully this dev camp was a nice start for him where he can take some big strides and maybe become a kind of surprise NHLer for us.
Yeah, that'd be a lot of fun. Grant Mismatch played for University of North Dakota for 4 years, last year his first year in the AHL, so being able to see him get another year under his belt and then being, again, another one of those pieces. We continue to talk about it, but guys that are, you know, sitting right there on the cusp, could they be guys that come in and fill depth roles while we try to keep together this young studly core? Absolutely. Grant Mismatch could be one of those guys.
Yeah, absolutely. And just speaking of dev camps, I want to talk about a different team's dev camp. So Seattle Kraken had theirs recently. You know, they got the fortune of getting fourth overall pick, Shane Wright.
Yeah.
Somehow, I don't know. What a win for them. But they get Shane Wright. Of course, they have Matty Beniers from last year, too. So Matty Beniers played NHL games already. They still had him go to this dev camp. You know, a lot of people think maybe just to be like, you know, I'm already familiar with the NHL a little bit, familiar with the facilities, kind of show around thing. And I don't remember what I was reading, but apparently they were talking about he was just like, the difference in tier level between Matty Beniers and everybody else was just so large. Like, just, he looked like he was a dominant NHL player already compared to those guys. Like, no one could compete against him. He was taking on, like, a true leadership, was like literally acting like an extra coach on the ice pretty much during the drills.
That's, dude, awesome.
Don't be surprised if the guys we're going to see as soon as this year at some point.
I love Matty Beniers, so that's a lot of fun. Also, Shane Wright, you kind of got to learn his personality a little bit more in the NHL video you sent me. It was like a 45-minute video.
It just made me love him even more because, like, he rightfully so. He's a cocky little bastard. I don't think he's so overly cocky where he's, like, where he's going to be, I'm the greatest, I don't need to work hard, but he's cocky where it's like, yeah, I 1,000% deserve to be drafted here. It's ridiculous that I'm falling this far. You guys are going to pay for this. It's awesome.
Yeah, some of the sound bites that I loved was, can't wait to play them this year, talking about Montreal and them taking Juraj Slafkovský. Also, after he got skipped over at number two, he said, Arizona, that's where I want to go. And then he doesn't go to Arizona.
Yeah.
And
you can see, he said that one hurts.
Yeah.
You can see it in his face. You can
see the pain.
But, dude, Seattle's it truly is a great fit for him because he gets to go somewhere where, if he was drafted Arizona, he would have been forced into the number one spot right away.
Mm-hmm.
He's in Seattle. Matty Beniers is already that number one center for them. He doesn't have to play that role.
I mean, you and I were talking about it on draft night. We said Logan Cooley just got the best deal of his life. He was locked into going to Arizona through, like, every single mock draft, going to be the third guy off the board. And then we're thinking he's going to Seattle now because they're taking Shane Wright. There's no way they don't. And what a deal for him to go from a, what is it, 2,000 fan?
I think it's going to seat like 4,000 or something.
Okay.
Like with the NHL alterations they have to do.
Yeah, so it's terribly small arena, and the organization as a whole, we know how they've really fumbled things. To go from them to Seattle and being able to learn behind the likes of Matty Beniers, what a steal, or what a great opportunity for him.
Yeah.
Not the case, because Arizona still goes out and grabs him. But
this reminds me of Arizona. I didn't even notice it until I watched this video. Did you see the whole staff was wearing matching suits?
I did. I people were making tweets about it that night.
I never saw those tweets. I just noticed in the video. I'm like, what? Wait. This is a little weird, but, you know, I guess more power to you, I guess.
I don't know if you saw the memes where people were going to the Minions movie all dressed up.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see those?
Yeah.
So someone posted a picture of the draft floor and said, can you guess what table is just coming from the Minions movie? And it's just Arizona all watching their or all wearing their matching suits. So,
oh, that's funny.
Yeah, it was good. But the last thing I did want to say is the stare down that Shane Wright gave to Montreal. We knew it was bad when seeing the pictures online, but in this video, like, you get the full part of him going up on stage and Gary Bettman's legit trying to tell him stuff. And he just does not move his eyes off of Montreal.
You can feel the tension watching the video. It's awesome. You know, it's kind of like Philip Zadina where I said, if it is very soft spoken voice, I'm going to fill your nets with pucks where, you know, he said it like it's just kind of how he talks, but he sounds like he's lacking confidence. Where Shane Wright is just like, you're in trouble. You are in trouble. You should have not have done that.
Yeah. So if you didn't see the video yet, make sure to go check it out. It's
did you see how many really Shane Wright custom jerseys were made there that people had at the draft that he was like signing? Dude, no. There was a lot. That's tough.
I did see that Seattle, they already had a Shane Wright jersey, and I'm thinking, how do you luck into that?
Yeah, I know that's what's crazy.
What it was is the, what is it? Jersey manager or whatever,
The equipment manager?
Yeah, equipment manager. He made one as a troll, and he goes, hey, watch this happen, and throws it to him. And they're like, all right, we'll take it just in case, and sure enough.
Wasn't it a number 15 jersey is all I'm thinking about it?
I can't remember.
I'm pretty sure it was. I could be very wrong. For some reason, that number is sticking in my brain, which that could just mean he already has number 15 for next year because, like, it was, why the hell else would he be wearing a 15 jersey? Where, like, Slavkovsky wore number 1. Other players wear number 22 for the 22 draft.
Yeah.
Which I'm going to look that up now, and I'll figure it out during the commercial break.
Perfect. Speaking of the commercial break, we're going there right now. We'll talk to you in a second. The action never ends at the DraftKings Sportsbook, especially this summer. With tons of ways to bet on all your favorite sports, you can fuel your fandom and feel the heat of the season like never before. Plus, right now, the DraftKings Sportsbook is giving new customers a risk-free bet up to $1,000. That's right. Make your first bet up to $1,000, and if it doesn't win, you'll get another shot to cash in. You can throw down on all the major action for baseball, golf, MMA, and more. Plus, with same-game parlays, spreads, money lines, over-unders, and props, your betting options feel endless. Best of all, DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. You can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN. Make your first deposit and get a risk-free bet up to $1,000. That's promo code THPN, only at the DraftKings Sportsbook. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. Shout out to our friends over at DraftKings. Thanks so much for sponsoring the show.
That was wrong.
Yeah, Chase was wrong.
Yeah.
It's a good thing you didn't put a sports bet on it.
Yeah, I don't know why I was thinking that. Maybe I saw a picture of him in dev camp or something wearing 15, but for some reason that number was like seeing him in a 15 jersey was just stuck in my head. But I don't know.
I mean, we're all wrong here and there, you know.
Yeah.
It's not very likely over here at the Bolts broadcast, but.
But it happens. It does happen every once in a while.
Yeah, we have our faults.
And see, like, if it was a really random number, I would have doubted it. But, like, he wears number 51 in Kingston, so I was like, maybe he's wearing 15 for some reason. So, like, that could have made sense. That's why I was really feeling it. But, you know, I guess I'll kick rocks this time.
Yeah. All right, Chase, let's talk about the Sharks as they go out, grab David Quinn as their new head coach. What are your thoughts? Do you like it?
No.
Ooh. Not a good start.
No, I liked a lot what Mike Greer was doing so far. He's really putting his own stamp on the team. I mean, like, we're going to move on from a couple pieces that we can. You know, Brent Burns is obviously a great player, but it's not really helping us where we are. Though we got to kind of go through a retool and rebuild. And he, you know, makes those types of moves. But he hires David Quinn, who sucks. If you have young players, you don't want them to play for David Quinn because they just don't play. He likes playing them like 8 minutes a game and only likes playing older players. It's going to hurt development. It's not really the right coach to have in for what's going to be a bit of a retool rebuild unless they're looking for someone that they can just happily fire at the end of this process. And maybe that is David Quinn. He can be the scapegoat. I don't know. But I'm not a big fan of it. This definitely can't be their long-term solution. It just can't be.
Yeah, and David Quinn, New York Rangers head coach from 2018 to 2021, had 3 years there, so 18-19 season to 2021 season.
Yep.
I don't know if you know, Chase, or if anyone listening knows, but in that time span, it was, like, super crucial for the Rangers to really develop these young pieces that they had, like the Vitali Kravtsovs and Kapokakos and
Leas Anderson.
Yeah. Didn't really go great.
No, it did not.
I mean, they hit on, like, Kandre and Miller and Adam Fox, but I think that's more the college landscape.
They traded for Adam Fox when he was already an NHL player. Kandre Miller didn't become a good player, really, till this year, and he became a dominant player this year.
Mm.
Makes you think.
Makes you think. And both played college.
Yeah. So it's – I really don't like – I didn't mind the hire at first because he was a very solid coach coming into his first NHL job with the Rangers there, or first head coach job at least. I didn't mind the hire at first for the Rangers, but then it was pretty evident clearly early on. Early on, it was pretty evident that it wasn't a good fit. 3 years down, you know, they just nothing worked out. No players developed, played bad. And now I'm a bit worried for San Jose because they really are in a spot where their younger guys going to start playing, start developing. You know, William Eklund's going to step into a big role this year. Jonathan Dahlin is no longer there. So, you know, William Eklund's really going to be the guy that's kind of being banked on quite a bit. They have Ozzie Wisebleit from last year as well. I'm assuming he's going to get at least a chance to make the team. So if these guys do make it, they, in most circumstances, would be given a chance to be relied on. I'm a little worried what Dave Quinn might do.
Situation's slightly different here. Steve Yzerman going over to the Red Wings, keeping Jeff Blashill on for a couple more years so that he can continue to add pieces. Do we think that this is a similar situation over in San Jose with Mike Greer, or do you think he just thought, okay, this is the best hire for us?
Well, it was a bit weird when they fired Bob Uegner so late into the process because they waited till pretty much right before the draft. So that part was strange. I think that was a miscalculation of Mike Greer's end, to be honest. That's, you know, he's new to the job, and I just don't think that was the right time to do that. Yeah, you want to bring in your own guy, but at this point in the process, it's kind of tough. You're leading into the draft. You're creating your offseason plan for who you want to attack, and now you're trying to add somebody after you've already had to make your free agent signings and stuff. It's usually not getting off on the right foot, not a great mix, so I don't think it was the best move. You probably were just better sticking out for one more year with Bob Uegner. If it didn't work, then you move on. So it's definitely different than what Yzerman did. I think what Yzerman did worked out for Detroit. Blashill's able to be the scapegoat at the end of the day. He gets to hire his guy, our guy as well, in the lawn, but San Jose's doing it a little differently. I guess we'll see if it works out.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's talk about Patrick Laine and Pierre-Luc Dubois. Former, trade swaps? The former swap between
former
the
tradies.
Former tradies as Laine.
Tradies nuts. Sorry, continue. Oh,
boy. See what I have to deal with, people. You see this. But
I'm too funny.
Laine, formerly with Winnipeg, now with Columbus. Pierre-Luc Dubois, formerly Columbus, now Winnipeg. They both sign contracts. Laine's a bit bigger.
Yeah.
You can say a bit.
Yeah, just a wee.
Pierre Dubois.
4 years, 8.7 mil a year. You know, he's making like 9.1 in the last 3 years, so a lower figure in the first year. I can't remember off the top of my head. Pierre Dubois, 1 year, 6 mil, just an extension of what he currently had, you know, of a $6 million pay. Both are fair prices for both guys if they're playing at you know, Pierre Dubois, as he's playing, $6 million is fair. Laine, it's kind of what he's got to be playing at, not what he has currently played at. So it's kind of a payment of, all right, we got Johnny Gaudreau. You don't have any more excuses. So we're going to trust that you can do this because we saw it in your draft year. I mean, I saw it in his draft year. This kid was dominant coming to the NHL. Had a legitimate 40-plus goal upside every single year. So now that he's playing with an elite playmaker like Johnny Gaudreau, you just got to hope that he can do it. And they're putting the faith that he can. I think it was a fair move. The only bitch about it is that they became a team that was over the cap and had to make a move afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We talked about the trade, right?
The Bjorkstrand trade?
No. The Tkachuk trade? Or did we not?
Oh, that's a good question.
I don't think we did.
That's a good question.
Because we released last Wednesday, and I think it happened last Friday.
Oh, you know what?
So we'll talk about that after this one because now...
Dude, it feels so long ago. I don't know why. It does. It feels like it happened weeks ago to me.
Yeah. Maybe because you've played so much Chell with their new roster.
That could be.
We'll talk about it after.
Download my roster on Xbox.
What is it? Chawdust?
I don't know. Type in Chawdust and find the most recent one. Yeah. You'll find Chawdust.
C-H-A-W-D-U-S-T. Free agent updated, I think it's called.
Yeah. Post-FA update, maybe?
Maybe.
Yeah, find it.
It's a good roster.
Yeah, so we'll talk about the trade after we finish talking about this. You got anything more to say on Laine and Dubois?
Nope.
All right, so Aubrey Bjorkstrand.
Stud.
You love him.
Love him.
He's one of your favorite players in the league.
Easily.
And, you know, Bjorkstrand's got a unique story. He is a son of a Canadian who played over in Denmark and played over in that pro league and was from this, I can't remember the town, but there's a town in Denmark that produced like six NHLers at one time, just some small town. They had like 20,000 people. And it was just a cool story. But Bjorkstrand, yes, sure. And, Bjorkstrand has been a good NHLer, maybe slightly overpaid sometimes for what he's brought in terms of stats, but had a great season this last year. His micro stats, his you know, analytics have been great. Goes to Seattle. Seattle gets a free Bjorkstrand pretty much for a third and a fourth. That's such a low cost. This is a great win for them. Someone to come in, you know, and bring in a lot of offense. It's going to be unique, though, because he is a true offensive guy. You know, he's a good shooter. But they've got quite a few shooters already in Seattle with Burakovsky, with McCann. Matty Beniers is a hell of a shooter. Shane Wright can shoot the puck, you know, in his own right. Get it? So they got a lot of shooters. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, if Wright can become more of a disher and if Beniers can become more of a disher as well. But it's still just a great free gamble to take for Seattle.
Oh, absolutely. Only a third and fourth.
Yeah.
And Jay Fresh Hockey,
who, by the way,
does all the advanced analytics, was a huge fan.
I did sign up for his service, so I do have access to unlimited player cards now.
Ooh.
So
can you just look them up, like, on demand, or
yeah, so how does that work? So I'll kind of explain to you as I'm doing it. So you sign up for him through Patreon, and once you do that, you get access to a link through Google Sheets. And on Google Sheets, you can go from there. You can click on, like, I'll show you right here, like, this tab for forward cards, for defensive cards. Mm. You click on it from there, and then you just type in the name up here. So we want Oliver Bjorkstrand.
Yep.
So I'll delete the Max Jones. I'll type in Oliver Bjorkstrand, click on him. And we see that he had a 94% WAR rating last year.
Solid.
Yeah. Great defensively, 96%, 93 finishing. Goals per 60, 99%. He is a truly dominant goal scorer, a very dominant offensive player. Someone that played second line minutes will play top 6 minutes again for Seattle to where he got traded. And yep. it's just a really, really nice fit. But I'll keep this tool for a while. Hopefully we get good use out of it. I didn't pay for the one where I get like the micro stats. I just paid for the one where we get the base stats because it was the difference between $5 and $10 a month. And right now only want to do the $5 a month. Might upgrade in the future if I find that we're getting good use out of it.
And a couple episodes ago, we talked about what teams are possibly doing the most to improve their team or, you know, change their team during this offseason. And we mentioned Chicago in a bad way, Ottawa and Detroit in good ways. I think Seattle kind of sneaky under the radar here with the Bjorkstrand acquisition, going out and getting Burakovsky, getting Shane Wright, who fell to them at 4. And then I know technically it doesn't count, but Matty Beniers is going to be able to play a full season for them this year. So that's just 4 players that could come in immediately and make a huge difference on this roster.
Yeah, so they're doing great up front. The back end's icky. The goaltending's icky, but they're doing great up front. They really are.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's talk about that blockbuster. Matthew Tkachuk, we talked about it.
Well, actually, it's only the second most important trade of the day because we talked about the first most important trade already, the Bjorkstrand one. This one's second most important.
Oh, okay.
So be careful with the word blockbuster.
But they can both be blockbuster. Well, okay. Family video, the family video trade of the episode. We got Matthew Tkachuk. We talked about how he was on his way out, going to Florida, going to little brother. They send back Jonathan Huberdeau, Mackenzie Weegar, Cole Schwint, and a top 3 protected 2025 first round pick. We got a tweet out almost immediately saying little brother's gonna little brother or something along the lines of that.
Which it really is the case because
Eesh.
Why? Which if there's no chance you were signing Huberdeau, sure.
Also, I didn't realize either, Uyghur's only on a 1 year as well. So both only on 1 year.
So if there's no chance of signing these guys, sure. But Huberdeau, I was like shocked by the trade. He didn't expect to get traded.
Huberdeau himself? I didn't see his reaction.
Yeah, like he was talking about how he thought he was going to get a notification that he was being traded or get talked to the team about it all, but he was just traded. So I think he was planning on staying in Florida.
He felt like him and Barkov felt like lifers.
Yeah, so it really doesn't make very much sense to give up a top transition defenseman in the league, one of the most underrated players in the league, the guy who set the record for assists by a left winger in NHL history in a single season, a fine prospect in Cole Schwint, someone that can probably play some depth minutes, and then a first-round pick for Matthew Tkachuk, who very likely had his career high in points. Like let's be honest. Like this, is he going to do that year in, year out? Probably not. This was one of the highest scoring years in quite some time. He benefited from playing on a very strong line. That line, they all finished in the plus 50s and 60s. Like that type of thing isn't really happening again. That's one of those once in a career type seasons that you have. I could be wrong, I guess, but reality is that that's probably the case. So it's a lot to give up. Paying him $9.5 million a year. It was the first true sign then trade in NHL history, apparently, where if he was traded to Florida, he would only been able to sign a 7-year deal. Because his RFA, like he was gonna be, his RFA rights were still kind of with like Calgary or whatever. Mm-hmm. So he was able to sign an 8-year deal, then get traded to Florida. So this first one of those in NHL history, apparently. But anyway, it's a lot of money. It's a lot to give up. I I can't really see much of a scenario where Florida's winners unless you find out there's no chance they were keeping Huberdeau or Uyghur, or if Kelly Reed doesn't get to keep either of those two.
Yeah, and I just think Florida looked so good last year, and well, until they met us in the second round.
Mm-hmm.
But they looked so good in the regular season, and they played decently against the Capitals in the first round of the playoffs. And two of the biggest pieces to their success was Huberdeau and Uyghur, and now they break up the chemistry that Barkov had with Huberdeau, send him out. They get rid of a top two defenseman for them, one that, like Chase mentioned, phenomenal in the transition game. And they bring in a guy who doesn't necessarily have a complementary style to Alexander Barkov.
Yeah, it's, you know, don't get me wrong, Matty Tkachuk is a strong playmaker. Like, he definitely can dish the puck. He can shoot the puck as well, but he doesn't have the offensive just abilities that Huberdeau does. Like, watch him play. Watch two play. Huberdeau is a top three skilled player in the league. I will legitimately safely say that. Like, his just skill with the puck on a stick, it's just incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Kachuk's nowhere near that. Kachuk is good with the puck on a stick. He's someone you want to have the puck for sure, but he wins a lot more strength, wins a lot more power. He'll go into corners. He'll beat the hell out of you. He'll be that pest. And there's nothing wrong with that, but we know that it worked with Huberdeau, Barkov, and whoever else you want to throw on that right wing. We don't know for sure it's going to work with Tkachuk and Barkov, because Tkachuk's going to take more penalty minutes. And, you know, it's going to limit the amount of times that they're going to be on the ice together. It's really just strange. I don't know. I don't know.
And super impressive by Calgary, because you and I talked about how this team is going back to purgatory, because that's where they always sit. And this move alone shows that they are still trying to be ultra competitive, still trying to go out there and win the West.
I don't, you know, I'm gonna look it up right now. Figure out their cap situation, but this was a very nice move. Their decor, especially analytically, it's one of
so good.
It's arguably the best decor in the league in terms of analytics. It's maybe not be the flashiest, but
they I play. DM'd it to you. So I'm gonna go pull it up.
Absolutely pull it up. But they all play so great year round. Right now they've got 9.3 in cap space. Who's still out there in free agency?
Probably some bum who just won a Stanley Cup.
Yeah. Some guy who just had a career year. Maybe it's wrong to pay him that much money, but right now you got the cap space. You got no choice. Go out and sign Nazem Kadri. I don't see why you wouldn't, because that puts you literally right back to where you were last year. I know that they like Lindholm in the middle, but Lindholm can play the wing just fine. So if you want to have a power line of Huberdeau, Kadri, and Lindholm, just throw them all together. Throw Lindholm on the right wing, call it a day. Or you can split them up, and you have two of the best centers in the league as your top two. It seems like a no-brainer to me.
Yeah, and here's Calgary's top four. Mackenzie Uyghur with a 97 WAR percentage. Chris Tanev, 93. Noah Hanifin, 92. And Rasmus Anderson, 66. But definitely showed some more offensive prowess this past year. Also, all four making under $5 million a year.
Yeah, and you know, someone was saying, oh, but Uyghur's a right-handed guy, so you got to have someone play third deep air. Well, Uyghur mostly plays left side, so he's probably going to play with Tanev or something. But anyway, it doesn't take into account, like, Oliver Shillington. He was in, like, the 50s last year, WAR percentage, and I'm drawing a blank on who the hell their sixth defenseman is. But they're in a good spot where the decor is just good. Jacob Markstrom's one of the best goalies in the league, top five goalie in the league. And the offensive core, there's enough pieces there where if they do sign Kadri, like, dude, they might miss a beat. It's possible.
Yeah. It's a good little team there. Chase, let's now talk about Dustin Brown, the absolute legend for the LA Kings, getting his number retired and a statue.
Yeah, I mean, number retirement, fine.
Sure.
Yeah, like, you know, you were the first captain to win this team a Stanley Cup. Great. That's awesome. Good for you. And you guys won two under your leadership. That's great. Mm-hmm. And he was a very impactful player in those playoff runs. A statue?
That's that's something.
The statue is reserved for Anze Kopitar, and that's it. If you're going any player that played on any of those cup teams, it's literally just Anze Kopitar, nobody else. Dustin Brown getting a statue is crazy to me. Good for him. Like, that's a super cool thing to say. You have a statue at an arena. But, like, let's be honest. The impact between Anze Kopitar and Dustin Brown, it's not even a discussion.
Yeah, I feel like statues overall need to be reserved for, like, first ballot Hall of Fame type of players. Like, guys that your Sidney Crosbys, you know, Dustin Brown, not necessarily a Sidney Crosby.
He's probably not a Hall. I don't know if he's a Hall of Famer. Like, let's be honest.
I don't think he is.
Yeah. So like, it's crazy, but good for him. Super cool. Maybe they're gonna create like a whole like row of statues or something where it makes it a little more understandable. But I don't know if that's the case. Obviously.
And it's just gonna be like dominoes. They're just gonna knock them all over.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
All right. Finally, Chase. You are going to be making a couple of live appearances.
I am.
For the THPN. So if people want to see your face and don't pay attention to WNP, you should do that. But you can also see Chase's face on some of these World Junior watch-alongs.
Yeah, so, you know, I don't know how much we're talking about them yet, but there's going to be some World Junior watch-alongs in the works coming up here for the Hockey Podcast Network. I'm going to be hopping on at least a few of them. Right now I'm signed up for 3. Once I get my whole schedule figured out, I will announce some more and we'll talk some more details, you know, more next week and the following week. But definitely be sure to tune in because it's going to be fun. It's going to be a unique environment with World Juniors this year. Some big names are going to be missing, but we're also going to see some guys who are going to be in the NHL this year, you know, or at least be fighting for spots. So it should be cool. You know, I'm hopefully going to offer some pretty good analysis on these guys. Mike's going to try to, you know, potentially join someone he can.
I'd love to do a U.S. Canada. That'd be awesome.
Yes, that would be great. But I don't know. I don't know if they're in the same pool, to be honest. I got to check
this out. Well, the championship.
Yeah. Well, oh, yeah, sure. Of course.
They make it. We know the U.S. is, but.
Yeah, for sure. But, yeah, so we'll definitely be we'll be notifying you more as we kind of figure out those things.
Absolutely. All right, that's going to do it for the show. Quick hockey name of the day here. We've got that's very, very small.
Yeah.
Fontage there. Small fontage.
Yeah, I don't know why it typed in that way, but it did.
That would be Marcel.
Yes, it is. And I don't know why Yuli Prospect is just struggling with me. But yeah, Marcel. Believe it or not, we got another Czechie who has the same first and last name. We had Ivan. Now we got Marcel. And Marcel is a 6'4", 216-pound forward, 2003 birthday. Of course, I said from Czech Republic, played in the Czech U20 League last year, got some pro games as well. He's going to be playing in Gatineau this year in the QMJHL. You know, a solid player, someone who has had some international experience, you know, just playing at the U18s, was on the U20 roster, or is going to be on the U20 roster this year, excuse me. You know, perfectly fine, solid hockey player. I think, you know, if he has a good year in the queue, there's a chance he ends up as an NHL draft pick down the road. He has another year of eligibility coming up this year. But, yeah, so it's someone that is going to be worth keeping an eye on because you'll hear his name during the World Juniors. You might hear his name in the NHL draft next year.
And seeing people with double names, that seems very old school because I know back in, from personal experience, I know this, back in, like, the year 1200, you know, there's quite a bit of those.
Your personal experience?
Yeah, personal experience.
Like a Michael Michelson or something, you mean?
No.
Or just Michael Michael?
Yeah. There was those back.
Oh, I was around in the 1400s, so I don't really know about back then.
Yes, that'll do it.
Yeah.
Michael Mitchelson, though. Whew, that's a name.
You know what names are the best? You know, we've only talked about it a few times in the podcast. Alliteration names.
I agree.
They're 100%. Nothing better than a CC or an MM.
Mm-hmm. Also found out that I've got heritage with the last name Kaziaka.
Yeah, so now you got
Polish, but
now you got to change your name to something with a K. So you got to be like a Kyle. So
you can I'm not going to be a Kyle, but Kaziaka, man, what a cool name!
You can be a Karen.
We've already got a couple of those, so we're good. All right, well, that's going to do it for the show. I want to thank you so much for coming out and giving it a listen, Chase. Outro time.
As always, we'd like to thank you guys for listening. Make sure to check us out on Patreon. If you want to follow us on Twitter @BoltsBroadcast, it's @BoltsBroadcast. You can follow the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter @HockeyPodNet. That's @HockeyPodNet. While you're at it, go follow WNP on Twitter, WNP Sports Pod. That's WNP Sports Pod. Make sure to thehockeypodcastnetwork.com. Find all the podcasts and the Hockey Podcast Network right there. Boom, click the logo and listen easy peasy lemon squeezy. If you're listening, raise 5 stars, send your questions, comments, concerns, whatever you do. You don't have to use code THPN. It's time for DraftKings. I can't talk today.
There you go. Nice job.
Thanks.
Thanks for stopping by. We'll talk to you next time.